reality where expectation value of the metric is zero. Okay, so this is something that I think that many of us have encountered in a number of contexts, one of which is in the Witten paper about topological things in the late 80s. He discussed this as a, he constructs the theory of a diffeomorphism invariant, not because of degrading the metric, but because of, making it not depend on the metric. Suggests that this is a possible phase of quantum gravity with more symmetries than the one we're used to. Another context in which we've encountered it is in the bubble of nothing, which I guess I should draw, explain what it means. It's something that arises in the closed quantum vacuum. So just take some gravity on a circle, or supergravity with Schwarz conditions on the circle. Then, here's a picture. This is the circle. So this is identified with this. So we've showed that there's a non-perturbative quantum gravitational instability of the system to the formation of a bubble in the vacuum, or something like this, where you make a hole in this thing. And in here is the thing I'm referring to as the transmission of space just isn't there. The thing that I'd like to try to do is just say a little more about what this is. And a reason that you might want to do that, other than the fact that in finite states that restore symmetries is, of course, a useful thing, because it's historically been a good way to learn about microscopic systems. Another motivation is trying to understand the resolution of singularities. And specifically, a question I'd like to talk about is, does string theory resolve singularities, and is like singularities, and if so, when? And by when I mean, it's possible that it's only quantum string theory that resolves singularities, namely finite two strings required, but it's also possible that there's some singularities which can be resolved at zero quantum classical string theory just by the fact that the string is finite. And it's this latter possibility that I'm trying to talk about today. And I'm not telling you this is always possible, because I'm just going to find some examples where it's. I should say that given the fact that already timeless singularities have a sort of variety of resolutions, there's this sort of menagerie of them, we should describe that space-like singularities have the same kind of description. But let me tell you why I think there's some hope for this. Which is just the fact that you all know that already in perturbative string theory, the metric is it's an emergent thing, right? It's a condensate of many strings, right? So when we do some path integral over some world shape fields, some action which involves something like this, this thing is an exponentiation of this thing is a really positive for people over the metric, and this exponentiation is saying that there are many of them. And so the fact that rulers are stiff is because this constant is hard to destroy. But the fact that it's made of strings suggests that maybe in situations where there's some other string constant that wants to be there more, it can this thing can mesh. And so I'm going to talk about some situations where that happens.
A question off the thing, but I mean, for what you just said sounds like a research problem. That to be really true, the theory would have to be well defined in the absence of any math. I mean, the statement that in strings the metric is a condensate or is emergent or something like that is a nice phrase. But if it were really true, then there would be a formulation of string theory in which there was no metric to start with.
Well, I think so I'm certainly not claiming that I know a background in dependent formulation of string theory, and I agree that would be very interesting. I'm just saying that, I guess I'm making an infinitesimal state. You can change this thing by changing the density of these strings. And We do know that we can study different backgrounds of string theory, not, you know, as solutions of some bigger thing, but we know that we can study different backgrounds of string theory, which differ in this kind of way, by the amount of the cause. And so I should emphasize that the description of string theory, the definition, working definition we use, is just a very old-fashioned first quantized point of view of single string world shape defined by a conformal field theory. And so, it's just the statement that different conformal field theories differ by having a different collection of operators turned on than the setting. The important question that you should all be bugging me about, I think, is how do you ask questions about this state? And so the way that I'm trying to do this is to try to attach it to attach it to some region where the metric isn't zero, right? So namely, so when I said that we think we can destroy this thing by turning on by some other composite that wants to turn on, I'm going to study examples where this tachyonic mode is localized in space, and so it turns on in some region, and that region is somehow out of this. And the important distinction between things I'll talk about in this thing is just that it's a describable perturbatively in string theory rather than some it's quantum or Euclidean quantum gravity. The feature of the world shape theory that I'm going to claim is the signal of this proof state is that the matter part of the world shape theory has a mass cap. And so basically, everything I'm going to do is just, in some sense, taking seriously this world shape mass cap. So the strategy is, right, so let me just outline this. Save the sort of assumption that I'm going to use. So first is perturbative. GS is here with zero world shape. This is the second thing, and then finally, I'm going to connect this gap phase to, I guess, is a more normal phase by some kind of what I guess you can call a Liouville evolution. Right, so namely, theoretical mass gap is hard, it's obviously not CFT, I'm going to restore conformal invariance by some non-zero realization, where there's some mode, which, when I do scale on this thing, this mode shifts. So I like this. Takes any law of linear. Right, so it acts like conformal. So here's the outline. So next, after this very vague introduction, I'm gonna tell you the basic example of a world shape theory which is described by the UV fixed point with a relevant operator whose dimensions you can tune and thereby localize the region where it's tachyonic. So this is just the maximum model. I'll explain. This is just a two-dimensional field theory thing that I'll review. And then the next question arises exactly how to address this kind of thing to make a string theory happen. And so there are a couple of choices, and I guess you can delineate these choices by which mode this is with. So for example, we could choose this to be space-like, and that's the thing I'll talk about here, which is. And this is the case where I'm going to embed the circle as some one cycle on a real surface. And so this is metric, I should say, and then the second choice is that you can make the same timeline, and that's what I'm going to talk about. This thing, which is this paper, if you will. And then there's a third choice that you can make it null. I mean, obviously, it's given this classification, which I'm not going to talk about, and that's an interesting question, so we should ask. At the end, I'll say some vague things about other proofs. Okay, so let me say something about, let me remind you something about that plow. It's a two-dimensional field theory. It's a sigma model, this is a circle. So we call it the regular theta. In some literature, it's usually regular, so we're putting it on a lattice. So some people mean the lattice ball. And so it's actually something like this. This L is the radius of the circle. An important place where this model appears that will be useful to keep in mind is it describes superfluid helium films. So superfluid films, so some two-dimensional things in the fluid, and you should think of this theta as the phase of the composite wave function, so the partial sum psi, which is theta times this x to the power. And this radius of the circle is in this context, I guess, in some means. You should think of it as this thing that's usually called the superfluid density, which is this psi squared. It's the amount by which the smoke is condensed. So now the main character in everything I'm going to say is the winding mode of this the vortex of this circular direction. And so there's some collection of augers that look like this. So if it's stated fiddle, I mean the dual circle. So I guess so by meaning if I decompose into David and the left wing ring right wing marks, so you are the left zero and the theta right zero. Then by theta total, I just mean the two-dual coordinate. So the important thing is just that this operator has some dimension in, I guess this is in L string, by L string 1 units, like this. So this is the momentum energy, this is the winding energy, and L is less than some critical length, which is 2, there are 2 in these units, this is 2 in string, the dimension of the zero momentum plus or minus one-eighth winding operators is, which is L squared, becomes less than 1, so these are relevant operators. And so I should say that this operator over 0 plus 1, which is just the theta total plus or minus, is an operator which, if I insert it, creates a discontinuity in the theta field. It's a disorder operator in this sense. Here's a picture of this plane in which theta lives at a point where this operator is inserted. The the phase of theta is constrained. So shift weights of pi by I'm going around. Right? I mean, not the phase, the theta itself. And so the reason I mention this is that a gas of such insertions, if I put a whole bunch of these, destroys any correlations between the theta, right? Because so if I try to measure theta over here and measure theta over here, the gas of these insertions will totally randomize the because it's totally randomize the values. So in adding this relevant operator, when this operator is relevant, it becomes large and then red, and adding it has the effect of giving a max gap to these theta contributions. And so just to, I guess I should mention that the best way to see that this is true is through the equivalence of the fermion system, which is just that, so this already was theory, is the same. So this thing is the same as a system of fermion, which I'm going to also put two-dimensional fermion, which actually looks like this. With a starring operator, and the relationship between L and G is and then further, over here, there's a match you can add to the string, and this thing corresponds to this cosine definition. Okay. And so, obviously, this operator is a relevant perturbation of this, which leads to a mass gap. And so there's one more detail that I'd like to tell you about the parameterization group properties of this thing, which is, so there's a picture of the coupling space of this model. So this is, so here let me draw the length of the circle, and vertically let me draw the size of mu, which is, you should think of as it's a chemical potential for these vortices. For normalization group trajectories of this model look like this. So this is this critical value. This is a line of fixed points, because at 0 mu, for any radius, it's equal to 30. And over here, at L larger than LC, these fixed points are stable. The flow lines go in here, and then below the flow, it's unstable, the flow lines go out. And so over here is the trivial fixed point. And the important thing that I want to emphasize from this picture is that these lines move to the left. And so this is the small L direction. So this is to say that turning on this winding mode, the string wound around this theta circle, exerts a force on the radius of the circle which is wound, which pushes it towards the circle. And so a picture of the behavior of this. So as a function of some, imagine slowly varying the spell through the critical value. So here's, so this is an 80 back at time. So here I'm varying L, this is L, and here's the critical value. When it gets there, this flow says that it jumps to zero. I'm extracting, so this is where the tagging turns on. So here's some here. But the important thing is that there's this jump, which is actually measured in these Galilean systems, which I guess it's actually not. So it's the superfluid density over T, which corresponds to this. And there's some sort of universal amount by which it jumps during this function of cells, which is 2.5. But it's just because the amount at which it jumps is set by the critical radius. And so this is to say that when the tagging condenses, the radius of the circle goes to zero. So then the stiffness in this direction of the metric in this direction is gone. And okay, I guess I should say it'll be important for me that the supersymmetric version of this story is identical qualitatively. Sorry. Okay. The supersymmetric version of the story, if you put antiperiodic boundary conditions on the space time curve, it's identical. So it's important that you don't project out the walking time. And that'll be important for everything. Are there questions on this?
There are no higher order terms that come in depending on alpha prime.
I guess there's some regime of L's where there's exactly one like you're worried about other possible operators that would get
added. Yeah, I'm just asking you.
Let's see. I don't think there are other relevant operators. I guess a question that you could ask is, if I put this on a curved world sheet, is this operator relevant? Mm. So maybe does the bill effect turn on this? Which I'm not going to say enough about. Okay, so after this, all the string theory things, I'm going to say something about trying to make a string theory out of this. I promised that the reason that I wanted to use this particular model, the particular motivation after this model, was that the dimension of the joining operator is controlled by this L. And someone can ask, how can we find a situation where L, the radius of some circle, varies in such a way that nearly everywhere L is big, but then there's some region of space time where it becomes small, and where we can make it smaller than string scale, so that there's this localized winding time. And so an answer to that is this. So specifically, theta is going to be the coordinate along some one cycle in the ring surface, and we're going to choose parameters so that so first of all, so that we have control, and second of all, so that the there's some locus in the ring surface where this one cycle is small. First I need to say some things about what happens if you try to put a string theory over a ring surface. And so I guess for argument, let's talk about type 2a. On a ring surface of genus H. Now, in the limit where the volume of the ring surface is large, we know the beta function is just from the effective gravity description. So you know there's some whichever description you like, the beta function is something like this for the metric. And a few things that are true. The constant negative curvature metric. Is a local minimum. Because if there are regions of X positive curvature, they'll loop themselves. But even in this case, there's an important tadpole for the volume. So there's an effective potential for the string coupling and the volume. A particular combination, which is just this one. This is an eight-dimensional potential. So compact by the regular surface. This is an eight-dimensional effective potential for this little field, which is just 2/3, I think, times 2 plus 2 dimensions. And this just comes from the reducing this off the other instruments. So the thing to observe is just that this is a positive number. This potential makes this combination of things want to become small, which which is good because large, we're going to want to take large volumes. Okay, large volume, and V function. And okay, and further, the tadpole itself is. I should say I'm excited about the tadpole by letting it roll. And so I'm going to give some weak time, some time dependence to this thing, and this time dependence is small if when this foundation is big. This has to be small. Okay. So I guess I should say something about the C function. In so think about a sigma hole on one of the different surfaces. The an important so there's the homological C function is a thing which can be proved under reasonable circumstances to decrease along a normalization group, and if the hypothesis is certainly applying here. And the C function of this thing is some constant part plus the contribution from the curvature. It's some this is a positive coefficient. And so the C naught is just the, I guess it's two in this case. It's the thing you guess if they're just pure bosons. And so this thing so this is higher over the curvature. And so the C function of this decreases towards two.
Dangin of electron contribution.
Sorry?
Dangin of electron.
Good. So I'm gonna try to keep the dilaton constant. Right? Small one constant. So it's the volume that's gonna roll. Right? So in that case there is. So another thing I should mention is that so here's a picture of our ring surface. So we can draw a special choice to call the structure on purpose. I should mention that in comparison to a superstring on this, there are two to two H choices in the spin structure. So for each cycle, we have to think about it depending on the fermions, the types of fermions. And let's assume that there's at least one that we picked to be antiperiodic, and let's focus on it. So I'm going to zoom in on this region. It looks something like this handle. I'm assuming that for the previous purpose is antiperiodic. And let's think about the spectrum of warning modes in this sector of strings, one over this circle. So because we've chosen the volume to be big and the constant curvature, locally this thing looks like a cylinder, right? So I call this direction x. There's some very slow variation in the size of the circle. So it actually goes like one of the volumes. So. So because of that, the spectrum of these strings is just like as a very flat space. So I should say. So it looks like a cylinder with nearly constant radius here. And so what has these things is some magnetic tape, which I guess. All right, so let me write it like it's just a superstring, and then some. Plus oscillators. And so just for the same reason as before, there's a winding factor if this L is. So I should say this L is determined by this choice of complex structure. And however, this this dependence of L on X isn't zero, and it's important that it's not, because if we go far enough away, the L becomes bigger than the critical value, and the tachyon isn't tachyonic anymore. So this is to say that there's some tachyon whose wave function is localized in some region of the Rydberg space. Okay, so we can ask what happens when it condenses. And so the claim is that this thing that was a handle, this thing is attached to the rest of the instruments, ends up looking something like this. Right, so in the region where the tachyon condenses, like what there is nothing. So I guess there are a few disclaimers I should make about this. Okay, so first of all, the region that I've erased here was the region of support of this tachyon wave function. That doesn't extend all the way around the handle, so there's so it's clear that there have to be some sort of protuberances left over. But these are regions of X positive curvature, right, as you can see from the picture, which will have some classical relaxation process back to the constant negative curvature. Okay, so this one. One is protuberances. So two, I think, is more important. So the thing that I've indicated over here is really just that the theta goes to zero, right? Not the whole metric goes to zero. And so I'll try to get some evidence next that actually the proximate result of the condensation is tagged down is actually to it actually leads to something like a collection of eight-dimensional type zero vacuum inside this region, which then have bulk tachyons, which proceed according to however they want. So when I say nothing, I guess I really mean eventually nothing, because there's an intermediate stage of type zero. So really. So there's still a step to do with it. And then, okay, so third is a related issue, which is that in a supersymmetric sigma on a Riemann surface, there's a Wooten index, which is just not a characteristic of the Riemann surface, which is 2 minus 2 inch. And so you'll notice that if I'm claiming to change H in this process, it seems like it should change. but of course, the Wooten index is invariant under small deformations. But in particular, deformations that don't send vacuum far away, right? And so the resolution of this puzzle is that is exactly actually part B, that inside this nothing are these what I'll call dust vacuum. They're sort of extra vacuum that lives inside this region. And I'll actually I'll give a description where they're quite apparent in a minute. Okay, and I guess I should also mention that although I've drawn the possibility where nothing I've changed is just the number of handles, it's also possible that the cycle that we're considering actually is like this one, where it depends on if it actually changes the number of connected components of the space. So that's a possibly more confusing possibility. Okay, so let's do some consistency checks of this statement I'm making. Just in the effective field theory. By effective, I mean the effective eight-dimensional theory that you get out of these connections. In this classification, if you come back by an oriented string theory on a Riemann surface, you get a vector field in eight dimensions for every one cycle. And there, right, so there are 2H vector fields, just from modes of the M-Schwarzschild field. Right? And the wire strings wound around a cycle are charged around it. Charge minimally coupled to the correspondent vector field. So let's focus on just a pair of cycles, which, you know, we can go like this. And here's this one A, and this one B. And then they condense the tack down around the A cycle. So the effect of the can you reduce? So this is, the kinetic parts of this thing come from this term, the 10-dimensional action, and look something like this. So there's so really in terms of the structure matrix of the room surface, there's a more complicated expression, which is, you know, SP something H invariant. But so I'm just focusing on a small part of it, which includes all these cycles. And these tau 1 and tau 2 are the radii of the two cycles. And so a few things to notice about this. So first of all, when the winding motor on the A cycle is actually charged under this gauge field, and so when it condenses, that gauge field takes. And so that accounts for the fact that when H changes by 1, we lose one of the vector fields, but there's one more that's going to go up, namely the one from the B cycle. And the claim is that the gauge coupling, just if you look at this expression of the B cycle, actually goes to zero because of the fact that G theta theta goes to zero. And so this is very similar to the fate of the center of mass U1 on an unstable brain, right? Where it's sort of classically confined. I guess this is a suspect. Just because the some scalar causes its gauge field to match. So that's the fate of the B cycle metric. Okay. Any questions on that? All right. So I promised to give you a picture where you could see these dust vectors. And so this is the way that I would see this is by making a linear sigma model for the sigma model of the rooms. So let me say a little bit of this. Okay, so this is a two-dimensional supersymmetric abelian gauge theory. So just like with the sigma models for Calabi-Yass, but it has the nice feature that it linearizes the winding mode. By this I mean the winding mode becomes just a vortex of the linear model gauge. And further, there's a picture of there's a kind of coupling in this thing, which is the Fayette driver for the gate for this gauge, which I'll explain. Which with running we understand, and which when the infrared goes to infinity, and the UV even minus infinity, and the model space, the vacuum manifold of this thing in the UV looks like this handle, and the infrared looks like two caps. Okay, so this is the claim. Let me show you a little bit about how to do this. So the basic thing that we'll get is that each of these is described by something like the set of W squared minus phi squared equals C. This is C. So you see, so W is real. So this direction is W. And so if C is, negative, phi plus negative 10. Did I get the sign right? Well, I claim that this and this are a picture of this, depending on the sign of C. Someone who's thinking more clearly than I am. So, but I haven't told you, and so I've just written down this equation. I haven't told you how to get it to that kind of field theory. And so let me give a first attempt at this, which will be a small subtlety. So let me take one U1 with four parallel fields, which I'll give some ridiculous names, which are historically motivated. And their charges under the U1 are indicated by these numbers here. And the important thing to notice is that the sum of the charges is not equal to 0, which is the Calabi-Yau condition, but rather it's equal to minus 2. And so this means, I'm not sure how much of this I should try to review, but this means that the Philae-Alpha's parameter runs. So there's some, this is actually equal to the beta function of the Philae-Alpha's parameter. And this sign means the statement that in the infrared, C goes to pulse infinity. So now I'm going to add a supercathedral. So far the small has two trees of this feather. I'm going to add a supercathedral, which is, as the action is d theta of W, with W is p times phi plus times k plus. So this is the gauge invariant. And it's going to lift some of the modes, and so there's some masking on the goods here. A brief analysis will convince you that this model looks something like, so the F term for P is something like five plus e to plus, so one of these has to vanish. And so there's a picture like this where, so this is 5 plus, this is the region where 5 plus is in 0, this is the region where e to plus is in 0. This is the point where both of them are 0. And actually, at this point, there's a P1. There's a little nub step there, which is whose coordinates are these other guys. So this isn't quite like this. But I claim that it's closely related. And to see how it's related, let me tell you the following going fact, which is that the deformation which takes this thing to this thing, so just isn't mutually 2, 2 supersymmetric with the Philae-Alpha. And so to get it to look like this, we need to add a deformation which breaks the 2, 2 supersymmetry to 1, 1. And so you might think that this is dangerous, but actually it turns out to be okay. And this is something you'll have to trust me on. I'm going to add some small relevant perturbation, which looks like this. It's an integral over some real subspace. So these things are some combinations of supercharges, which are the 1, 1 they're going to preserve. And then I'm just going to add these non-holomorphic things. And I claim that this has the effect of making this look like this in the ultraviolet. Doesn't change the infrared behavior at all, and doesn't change the renormalization properties of C. When there's some brown here, which epsilon, but epsilon is small.
Jim, is it true that the cylinder becomes two components at C equals 0?
xc equals 0.
I mean, it's the first time that it becomes two components.
Oh, you're asking at what value at c does it become disconnected? Good.
Seems to be c equals 0.
Yeah, certainly around. I mean, so I guess, you know, like even in Calabi, yeah, it's the point where it looks like the volume 0 can be moved by quantum effects. But I think probably it's likely to be moved more in this case. But so somewhere around there, I agree.
I mean, somehow it would have been nice if you could have described the thing as some with two complex coordinates, saying like x times y equals to some parameter, and then when the parameter is 0,
indeed,
the thing is split into two, like reaching the boundary of some modular space. So.
Indeed, so you can actually, I mean, obviously you could just study the model with two parallel superfields and w equals, you know, x, y, and, sorry, three parallel superfields and w equals that.
Right.
I'm sure that has the property that you want. The important difference for me, and the reason that we instead studied the more elaborate model, was just that was the fact that in this model the vortex becomes linearized. Sorry, the winding loop becomes linearized in this sense, namely that it's the Kevin potential for the winding loop really is the FI parameter whose RG flow we understand from the linear model. Right.
I think it's typically in the discussion of the Riemann surface, this binding one really change the complex structure or the Taylor parameter of this finite space?
Well, so, okay, good. So, like I said, I think the proximate result of the condensation of the winding one is actually to make this thing with the protuberances. So, if you're labeling the complex structure by just which constant of the curvature measure you're talking about, this takes you outside of that space of things. Right? Mm-hmm. Because you get a measure that doesn't have constant of the curvature.
So you think it's a composite definition?
Well,
I don't know.
No, I mean, it's much more than that, right? It changes the topology. I mean, that's the point.
That's the thing, but I'm saying that US all you can think of it as a complex definition, all the definition.
No, because so first of all, I think it's not holomorphic, right? I mean, it's not. Oh, sorry, I'm not. I think this it does something like this, right? It makes the infinitesimally it makes a diff, right? If you start to try to say it perturbatively, mu. I think it looks like some other mode of the metric. It's not a mode of
the metric. This realism picture the. 5 times is usually a Taylor definition of the target space or something. There should be a new feature. I can define what the 5 definition with some definition
of
the spectrum on something.
Well, okay.
I'm still confused. What is it in that picture?
So, okay, this is a good point. So, the volume of the ribbon surface. That's the big Taylor one,
yes.
Right? It's true that does actually mix with the Philae-Alpha's coupling. That's definitely true. So
this is the real equation you've written down.
Mm-hmm. This thing is a real equation. That's true. But I guess what I'm saying the Philae-Alpha parameter is it turns on some combination of the volume of the okay. But it clearly does turn on the Feynman. Right? So I can say more about how I know it turns on the Feynman, if you like. It's because, what's the best one to say? So the final, this thing that fits in some multiple with the theta angle, the navigation, right? I guess I shouldn't call this theta. Let me call it beta foot. And there's a good reason to call it beta foot, right? Which is that you know that there's this pusher trick for T dualizing, right? Where you so take this XY model and replace it with a thing which is the same as it, which looks like this. So you add a gauge field which under which phi shifts, so the transmission is this. Right? And then add a dynamic theta that's gauge field, right? And so you can gauge fix if you gauge fix away, sorry, to get back to the original model, just integrate out the iterator, it's like a delta function, it's just a to 0. And, but now if you get fixed theta to 0, to fix this, then integrate out of theta, you get kinetic energy for theta. So this is, right? But the reason I mentioned this is because so think about, so like I said, this theta total is a normal plot with the pi coupling. Think about what the contribution to the path integral of the vortex looks like. So a vortex is something where f is something like a delta function at the core of the vortex, maybe we'll get from far away. And this contribution is something like e to the, so there's this integral theta total f.
E to the minus d there, you're saying that's.
Right, the thing is, it's usually, exactly. This thing is going to be the last t, and then the more, at times, something like e to add this thing at the dual field at the force of order. Okay. So now,
a simple question. You said at the end of the day, you've got a one-one supersymmetric.
Yeah.
Theory.
It's right. So
my simple, I don't understand. Is there? I thought the target space is not supposed to be supersymmetric. Like when I think about there are two spin structures. If I just think of that as space time, there are two spin structures. You got to choose here, and so
the one. The world theory is supersymmetric, though, right?
The world theory.
Yeah, okay. That's so.
Okay, can you point at something and say, here I changed that sign on the board and that changes the spin structure?
Oh, you're asking where in the linear model did you choose the spin structure?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So that, so good. Actually, let me, okay, I guess that's it. Oh, it's, I mean, it's, choosing a spin structure is something about, like, sorry. It's clear that in this model, we've chosen the periodic coefficients.
Right.
It's really just a question of whether or not the winding tachyon is projected out by the battery conditions. Right? And so clearly it's not here. And so I guess the question becomes how do you study the small with the periodic battery conditions? And I just don't have to do a question.
Okay.
Sorry. But it's not related to the world structure.
Right. You're saying this,
Okay, but so the next thing I'm saying is actually related to this issue, which is just.
Not the word over there.
Okay. Which is about this dust factor. So these things live on the sigma branch. Right, so by sigma, I mean, there's when I say that there's a 2 comma 2 vector multiple, there's a scalar and the Gino, and then somewhere in here is the Gino, something like this, or something like that. And this is like by sigma.
Sorry. You said summation is minus 2.
Right.
So this is just the heat boundary that I've been on so far.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all I
got. Okay.
So, right, so now I'm going to ask whether there are also back here on the board. That's all right. So consider the region of field space where sigma is big. Right. And this is a good thing to do because there's a term of the action introduced by supersymmetry, looks something like this. And so when sigma is big, all these chiral multiples are very massive, and you can integrate them up. And the result of that is an effective twist of chiral super potential, which looks something like this. where this, there you go. As long as which is just the, this is just the eye-to-eye and the pinhead angle, and then there's this piece that comes from integrating out the matter fields, like this. That's three total. And so I guess I should say, so to get some more information for this, think about what the R symmetries do. So one of them acts only on theta plus. One of them acts only on theta minus. Right? And so the presence of this term in here, sorry, this is the bar. The presence of this term means that sigma has to transform like to the I alpha plus minus alpha minus. Right? It transforms with them to the actual R symmetry. And then this term says that actually the superpotential shifts under an R symmetry transformation. And this this is related to the fact that this R symmetry is anomalous because of this. Because of that, right? This anomaly is the same multiple as like scale anomaly. Okay, so the reason I mention this is because it's actually there's actually a Z2 subgroup in the axial R symmetry, which is not anomalous. And this is because this is even. So this thing goes to minus itself, this whole symmetry. And that's good because this is it's by this Z2 that the chiral GSO symmetry acts when you make type 2 out of this thing. And so, right, so what she's saying is, okay, this is to say that the higher part of the GSO acts by sigma goes to minus. And okay, so now let's get started. After this interlude, let's talk about the vacuum on the sigma branch. So let's do that and just solve this equation, right? And so just look for critical points of this superpotential. And those appear at plus or minus e to the, what is it? Right, t to 14 is this combination. And so the thing I want you to notice is just that these vacua are permuted by the action of the GSO projection. So meaning, so the GSO projection is an orbital, so the vacua are identified by this orbital. And so, you know, a fundamental domain for the quotient is just one of them, which is to say that each of these points is something like is eight dimensional. Is there eight dimensions on filter? But there's a type zero JSON projection. So this is why I say there's an eight dimensional type zero left over. And by the way, I should also say that these vacua account for the missing width, part of the width of things. And I guess this is related from earlier. Linear models with for non quality alternatives. So okay, so the so besides finding these eight dimensional points, I mean these type zero points, the nice thing about this linear model is that it gives a picture of the nothing region, right? So the optional field space of the linear model gives some coordinate on this this in here.
It's where I put it. So, John, these Coulomb branch vector are actually massive.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, the thing can't move transverse to
the. How do you see the better unstable by type 0
transverse? So, I said they're type 0 because of this fact about the GSO projection. So, there was a chiral GSO projection on two of them, but it just identifies them. Right? It doesn't project out the time. They're massive in the sense that there's no
sigma space.
Yeah, so they can, the string can only be eight. That's what's the eight.
Okay. So if you something you can see by probing with a brain problem with the vacuum, these other branches?
Say that again.
You see, if these other branches of vacuum with something you can see by probing with the brain,
I don't know, that's a good question. I mean, I guess there's. The distance between them, you know, there becomes a big potential hill between the sigma branch is sort of here, right? Then there's a big barrier that overcomes. I don't know. That's a great question. I guess, so I mean, in other examples of latent models for its orbital attack, you know, people studied what happens to brains, right? And I guess it's true that some of the, actually some of the charges of the brains go on the same way, right? Maybe you, there's some brains that hold the but it's not clear that you can, they can talk to each other, right? I guess my time is running out, so but
I mean, don't feel no constraints.
Do you want to hear about the time optics?
Yes.
Okay.
And the node.
Okay, I'll do the research then. Okay, so consider the following FRW, like sort of some time direction, when there's a circle whose size depends on time, and there's a bunch of other stuff. Okay, and again, that's what I mean. It's important that the space time that I don't project out of lightning attack yet, right? And so the classical equation motion for L, something that looks like that, and I'm going to demand that we study a situation where it very slow. And I also need to take I'm going to make it possible. And so this is a situation where I have a circle, so time is this way. I have a circle which whose size is slowly varying. Right? So if you extrapolate this way, it becomes something like a bang. It's a very slow bang. Okay, so let's consider the evolution towards the past. Right? So kind of slow variant system. So in GR, or if we have a periodic diffraction, the path integral for a particle would look something like the particle in the background. So remember, I'm using this first quantum perspective all the time. So I have a corresponding string, something like this thing I wrote before. And when this L thing becomes really small, the fluctuations of these actually this data field is just unsuppressed, right? The thing goes crazy in that region. But now, so as I read before, just like the other examples, if this time derivative is derivative is small enough, there's a winding time now that's structured again. Right? And the result of that is to add something like this. And it's x naught t times x naught t. That's a bit of 12 to the core of the data. And this is another like way of having. And so now you should ask me what this kappa is. It's kind of a confusing thing. It's something like the mass of the absolute mass of the tachyon at the time when it condenses. I'm going to take it as sort of a constant. Its actual determination from some sort of whatever denominator that it's determined is an interesting question. That's a chance. Okay. So let's think about this path here a little bit.
In general, there's not a margin of error, but don't have some particular data.
It depends on the data. Yes, that's right. Exactly. So that's what I mean. So right when the circle is at a critical value, I don't do this thing at all to make it far as well. Right, but when it goes a little further, then it makes up count. Right, you know what I mean? I think it would be great to understand this, but so this is a description of reference. Okay, so the thing to notice is just that this looks very much like sine wave up with some eyes. Stop. Right. So just like in wave up, so I should say just like in wave up, we only know the asymptotic values for fields. We only know the Dolopan and the tachyon in the regime where the tachyon is at. Right. So in wave up, this does something like there's some linear thing and this is an exponential. In this case, and hopefully in this case too, you don't actually ever need to know the behavior of these fields inside the tachyon regime because this tachyon provides this wave wave direction. The tachyon has a wall, and there's a position dependent mass, velocity, and the dominant configurations of the path integral avoid those regions. Right? And so actually, the perturbative enthalpies become insensitive to everything that's going on. And so, the goal here is to try to use the same sort of strategy. And so but rather than being linear, this is a constant here. And this is this kind of by. So this thing is the wave function. This thing up from. Okay, so let's see what we can do. So the whole thing we can do is which will actually help people get what I'm saying. Let's consider the porous path integral. And the reason this is good is because on a torus, you can pick the Walshy curve should be flat, and so the delta doesn't matter at all. So let's decompose x, this x on it, the 0 mode part. Plus the monster part. And so this is an old trick that I'm going to use. So this path integral over x becomes something like this. And then the other directions. So there's some kinetic piece of the action, and there's some tachyon, which I'm going to write like this. Right. And now the next thing is that the zero mode piece we can pull out. We can put a hat here. Right. The zero mode where I'm in the world. And let's try to do this integral first. And if we do this, it'll be easier to study the derivative. And so this pulls down the stuff that's multiplying mu. Something I'll call C. And it's C because it's constant x not null. The nice thing is we can actually do this in our own test, so what happens to the I'll point out later in the process. Here's this guy. There's an even minus kappa x on top, and then an e to the even minus kappa x on top from c, and then here's x on c, I, from here. And this is an equation I have to do, right? Because this thing is defined by y of the minus kappa x on. This is literally y of the kappa. Times e to the minus y c. And if this integral is less than infinity, this is 0 to infinity. And this thing is just 1 over c. Plus. And the nice thing about this is that that c cancels that c. Okay? And this thing is equal to the important factor of the 1 over mu times kappa times something here, the non-zero important part integral of x hat. Heck yeah, it's gone. I forgot to measure the scale of things left. And so this thing is just the free non-zero important part of the torus integral. Right? So we get a differential equation for the mu things. Right, which is solved by k is there's a positive integration that can be interpreted as infrared cutoff on the fluid. So, is this one? Yeah. So this new star is an infrared cutoff on the on time. So in the weak fluid. So where did it go? In this picture, I have all up to some x naught star. And then here's. Okay? And then. Here's the reason we're detecting this. And the important thing that I want you to notice is that if you compare this to the path integral in flat space, so the no-path, yeah? It's extensive, right? It's something like volumes. The volume of all the space directions and some free thing that's included here. But the important thing is the factor of time, right? The amount of time that you let it evolve. And so from this picture, you see that this thing is only evolving between some x naught mu, which is log of mu minus log of mu, and this couple. And so for this reason, we say that this region of the integral isn't contributing. This is consistent with the fact that it's not there.
Oh, did you use the same argument for the Liu bill?
That's
right. Say that there's nothing on the wall, but we know that there are brains there. Well, there are these brains.
Where are they?
Well, there were companies speak where you call it nothing. You call it nothing.
Can I show them out, like, right at the turning point?
So it's basically the infinity.
Okay, good. So this is an important question. Right, actually, what this is exactly the topic of the non-existent part 5, which is that, and I guess I don't need to mention it. I encourage someone to study other probes of this topic. Right, so the thing that I'm trying to show is as you're saying, I've shown that strings can't get through this barrier, but right, my hand can't get through this table, and the string that's inside the table is not there. There could easily be other probes that can penetrate. And so, indeed, as you suggest, a deep brain is a good thing to try to study. And in this regard, I wanted to mention that in a very interesting paper from 1993, Polyakov has a paragraph about this subject. Have you seen this?
He always has a paragraph.
Well, they're usually right.
Yeah.
he suggests an order parameter for nothing, which is the volume. So he actually talks about it in terms of particles, but what he's doing in string theory is very clear. He something that I'll draw a picture, it'll be clear. Setting an angle diagram where you fix the world sheet proper time during which you allow the thing to propagate. So, so that, you know, this is something like u to the minus l h closed. Right? Like, and of course, the important question is who were these boundary states? But the thing he says about this is that the way to tell whether there's something or nothing is, and it's true, this is actually according to the string rule, is whether, is according to the dependence on L of this thing. So you might complain that this isn't really a world sheet or parameterization invariant thing, but okay. So if there's space, this thing goes like L to the minus 0 or 2. This is actually it's more or less flat. But if not, then this is constant. And it's basically just by some scalar, you can remove the L dependence for the integral. So it seems to me that it would be very interesting to study the
constraints. It's clearly dependent on what boundary conditions you put on B.
I totally agree. So if you keep B away from the region where the time can is not zero, then you should get the flat space size. Right. So indeed, and it also depends on. So the thing he's actually studying is he studies some great structure, right, the particle, where so the analog of the matter is you pick some endpoint for the particle to end up at. Right. So it's a great structure. It's actually not a great structure. It's the thing in his book he calls K. In terms of path intervals, it's dx delta of world line metric minus x dot square. And it's a non-trivial fact that it depends only on the world line metric through this, through the proper layer. But this is to say that there's some dependence on x also. So there's actually some in here, there's some even load. There's an L, x minus prime, square x, this is over L, minus some L times something. Right, so this is the capacity for it. But okay, so that's clearly the important thing to do. Actually, there's something there.
So you describe this world sheet then, which makes the circle like shrink down to zero.